I can't tell you how long I spent picking out that book for you.
Yeah.
Because I figured I only had about one or two chances to redeem poetry in your eyes. Yeah,
50-50.
At most, I would get one other chance to give yeah. you a book that you would actually read, but I knew it was going to take forever if I didn't nail that first one for you to trust it again.
Yeah.
I had one book to get it right. Welcome to the Book Jar Podcast, a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to talking about books and book-related news. My name is Marissa, and I'm here with my best friend, Megan, who looks confused because I changed the opening.
Yeah, I was like, you didn't even, like, say hi or, like, what?
Hey! No, just welcome. Welcome.
Yeah. It's, I liked it. It was, like, a very cold start. It was, like...
It was just, we got right into it. Well, yeah. Technically, at the beginning, they heard us say something funny that we're about to say in the podcast. We haven't been funny yet.
Yeah, it's
coming.
Done that,
but
part,
it's already yeah. happened for them.
Brian,
it's like podcastception. We have a weird energy today. Apparently, yeah,
the vibe is interesting.
The vibe is interesting. How you doing, Megan?
Doing pretty good. It's a beautiful day in our little hometown here.
Our little hometown.
It's like plus 20 degrees. And
it's supposed to be like minus 14 also during the week, by the way.
I was blocking that from my mind. I don't
know. It's like totally not going to be minus anything. It's no, just going to be amazing.
It's just going to be this plus 20 for the rest of the week
mm-hmm.
because it feels like summer. Like I wore a t-shirt here. Like,
yeah.
Like even the wind is warm. Like typically it's like still cold
yeah,
this time of year.
Yeah,
it's
still cold. Yeah.
But yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I actually got to spend some time outside in the sun and that's nice because... Mm-hmm. We also live in a forest fire heavy area. So like in the yes. summer, I'm not sure I'm going to get that much sun. So I'm trying to like really go for it when I can.
Yeah. With clear skies.
Yeah. You know. And it's clearly messing up our vibe. The sun. Just being out.
Who would have thought? Who would have thunk? Not I.
Who would have thunk? You know what you know what sunny weather is not great for?
What?
Reading.
Ugh, yeah, you're right. It's just, unless you can read outside, but then I get really hot and sweaty.
You also have to like not be, you can't have the pages in the sun because otherwise they blind you. So you have to be like yes. half in the shade.
Yes. It's, yeah.
It's a delicate balance.
I know. Like it's just, and then you can't read inside because you're just like, I should be outside enjoying this really beautiful weather.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like light so late, so you can't like wait till nighttime to read.
You can't. Yeah, I know. Why stay up till 3 a.m?
Yeah,
it is dark. That's
true.
Then it's like 3 hours of dark that we get. I do this thing in the summer. I don't know if you know this about me, although it's not going to surprise you at all. I open my back door
mm-hmm.
to like my house where we have a deck, and I will sit in the house but have my legs out on the deck, and that's how I read sometimes. And I'll get a whole bunch of pillows. Like, I'll make a little fort.
Aww.
I'm not going to cut that one out. Usually we cut out Howie, but I don't want to repeat that story. So we're just going to... Sorry about the coughing dog. But yeah, that's literally what I do in the summer.
Yeah.
And I feel like such a child because I used to do it when I was a child,
mm-hmm.
like out at my parents' house. But yeah, I totally was doing it like all summer when we had nice yeah. days last summer. Recommend.
That, you know, that sounds very nice.
Yeah.
I just like, what do you do about mosquitoes or spiders? And, you know, how do you not worry about those coming in your house?
usually what ends up happening is I stop doing it when there's a bee. Like a bee comes nearby because oh, I really, yeah. I'm not scared of bees at all, but I don't want to deal with the logistics of having one in the house because they're so hard to get out.
Yeah.
So that's usually the sign. I personally, like the mosquitoes usually aren't out on those days because it's hot.
That's true.
The spiders, I choose to ignore. Wow. They can't get in the house in those moments yeah. in my head.
In your head.
I need you to not break that bubble for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, invisible that bubble needs to... force field for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they try to sneak in. So if I'm there guarding the door, they won't come in, right? Like that's how that works.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Nobody
exactly.
contradict me on that.
Yeah, they're like, oh, there's this giant person in the doorway. And then they turn around and run away.
And they scurry away and they keep to themselves. And then they catch the mosquitoes that would have come in the house.
True.
And then we all live happily ever after.
Yeah, that's exactly how that works.
Yeah. So that's all I think about when I'm doing that. So, yeah. Anyway, what have you been reading recently? Because we just went off on a huge tangent.
Yeah.
But I loved it.
I've read a few.
How many did you read?
I read 3.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I read 4.
Okay. See, we're similar.
We're on the same page.
We're similar. It's a joke.
It is a joke.
I liked it. Okay.
You know how you say you feel really good when I call you my best friend?
Yeah.
I felt really good when you were like, that was a joke. And I thought that was really funny. That made me feel good.
Yeah, that's why we're friends. Because we, you know each other's
sense of humor.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I want to hear about what you read.
Okay. So I think I talked about this a little bit. Days at the Murasaki Bookshop. Mm-hmm. Satoshi Yagasawa. And that was the translated Japanese book.
Yeah.
Finished that.
Cozy vibes.
I don't really know what else to say except, like, if you're looking for a book that is kind of like slice of life vibe and you just want to read about, like, good things happening, good karma. It's just overall, it was just like a really simple, easy read to wind down with.
Nice.
So recommend that. Do you want me to say all of them?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
Or do you want to go back and forth?
I want to say all of them.
Okay, say all of them.
And so I also made a book order and I had a couple new books.
We love that.
And
I love it when it's not just me making the book orders, even though I totally made a book order.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. You just advertise it more than me.
Yeah, like, I do.
I do buy books and get books.
Here's the thing, though. Sometimes you buy one.
Yeah.
That's the difference. I don't remember the last time I bought a singular book.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in single digits and you're in the double digits.
Usually.
Yeah.
If I'm ordering, I'm ordering books.
You gotta get the free shipping. That's obviously why.
I'm gonna be honest. I pay for, in the Canadian, I won't say the name because we're not sponsored, but you can pay like a membership and you get a discount and you get free shipping every single time. So it's not really about that. With Book Outlet, which also they're not a sponsor, but yeah, you should check them out because they're great. Yeah, you gotta get the.
You gotta.
I'm not, the shipping is as much as one of the books.
So you
it's
might as
not
well.
Happening.
Exactly. Like, isn't that how discounts work? Isn't that how saving money works?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't pay for shipping by getting an extra product.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyways, those came in. Yeah. The books I ordered, and I read them because I was like, you know what? I'm screwing my other TBR reads.
Sometimes read my new stuff. Sometimes you just need to read the most recent one.
Yeah, and it's like, I was like super excited for it.
Yeah.
So I was like, yes, I want to read it. So I read Lore of the Wilds by Annalee Sprana.
Okay.
And we follow her actually on Instagram. So that's where I found out.
Oh, cool.
About it. I believe her handle's like Literary X Queen or something.
Okay,
like
yeah.
And it's like this cute little fantasy fey world new adult romance.
Okay, fun.
And all of the main characters are Black characters, which like hasn't really, like, I haven't really seen a lot of that where it's like fey world.
Yeah.
And it, like, it's usually, I mean, like Sarah J. Maas, we all know, is like,
yeah,
pretty
queen of the fey. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was really exciting, and it's like a cute little story where, so it's like these humans somehow got like transported into fey world, and they're treated like trash from the fays, and she can read like the fey language, and so this king brings her to his library that they can't get into for whatever reason. They like, there's like a curse on it, but she can get into the library and like is searching for these like particular books that this king wants.
Yeah.
And it's just like very cozy, like cottage core. And there's like a little bit of spice sprinkled in. And it's just, it was really cute and fun. And there's going to be a second book, so I'm really looking forward to it.
I like that.
So definitely recommend it. I think I gave it 4.75 because I was just...
Oh, you were...
Vibing. It took me like 2 days to read. Like, I was just like, I need to know what happens.
You flew through it. Yeah.
So really good. It was just like one of those books that like the pacing was really good and there wasn't like a lot of like extra...
Fluff.
Yeah. So that one. And then I read Bride, Allie Hazelwood, which has been going making its rounds.
It's definitely been getting shared.
Yeah.
What did you think? I haven't read it.
So I've never read Allie Hazelwood, but I know you have.
I have, yeah.
Yeah. And it was kind of funny because I was listening to a podcast you did with Alex. And you were straight up like, yeah, I don't think I'll read her again because she's like, I heard that her editor gives her tropes or something.
Yeah, she had trouble. She was in a writer's block, so her editor gave her the trope and she wrote around the trope.
Mm-hmm.
And when she gets stuck, apparently she'll text her editor and her editor will give her a trope to use. And I don't know, maybe it's just like the aspiringness of me wanting to be a writer or something like that.
Yeah.
Or which comes with jealousy, I will openly admit. Everyone who has a published book out there, jealous.
Yeah.
Fully jealous of you. I do think it's just a little bit weird to hear like, oh, I couldn't think of what to write.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. We've all been in that situation, but to like base it off of a trope is just like a little weird.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm being a little judgy on that one.
Well, just
I've heard good things about this book.
Yeah, like so when you said that and you were like, yeah, it's just a trope. And I'm like, I literally purchased this book because of the trope. Like, I was like, this sounds so interesting to me.
She does use the tropes really well. So
yeah.
The one I read was Enemies to Lovers.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she just works really well with certain tropes.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed this book. Like, it's about like a vampire girl and then like a werewolf pack leader guy.
Ooh.
And they have to get married. So marriage of convenience, I guess that's called. Is that a trope?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what is in there. Forced proximity.
It's the more official version of fake dating.
Yeah, it's like fake dating. They're just like, they don't want to be married to each other, but they're doing it for like the benefit of the races.
They're related because you have fake dating, which is pretending to date for a specific end.
Yeah.
And then you have marriage of convenience, which is just getting married, not because you give any craps about each other, but because you want something out of the marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, so that's
similar, but more eternal.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was it. And then, like, I was like, you know, I haven't read a vampire book in a while.
Yeah.
I haven't read any werewolf books. So I was in for a surprising treat.
Yeah.
About the spice.
Yeah.
Learned a lot. Did some Redditing after. I don't know if I should say it on here because I feel like we're PG.
Okay. Well, I will get your thoughts after we're done.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's not like a bad. It's not
if,
like a bad.
If you're really curious about Megan's thoughts and you're old enough to handle it, go join our Discord and ask her.
I would
about
love
it.
To talk about it on there.
She wants to talk about it. So go join our Discord. Yeah. Link is in the description of this podcast and ask her about it because I'm sure she'd be more than willing to share. But we'll keep it PG on the pod.
Yeah, we're keeping it PG on here. So we're just not going to mention it because I don't want like young kids to go Googling it.
Yeah. So you got an education.
Got an education, but I liked the storyline and love story. I liked the characters. Like, I loved the main girl. She was like really funny and like sarcastic and just awesome. And yeah, it was good. Overall, really enjoyed it. So I definitely recommend it.
Recommend?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been hearing good things. I have been thinking about trying it, as much as I said. Yeah. I probably wouldn't read another one by her.
Well, you can borrow mine if you want.
Yeah, might have to do that so I don't order more books.
Yeah, exactly.
That was your last one, correct?
Yeah. What did you read?
So I was in the middle of a series the last time we talked, which was the Devabad trilogy, which is by S.A. Chakraborty. And I was working on The Kingdom of Copper. The first book is The City of Brass, which we read for our book club. You weren't there because you were like on a honeymoon or something.
Mm-hmm.
But the joke's never going to get old in my head. So the second book is The Kingdom of Copper, which I finished. And then The Empire of Gold is the third one. Sublime.
Yeah.
Amazing. If you like fantasy and you're looking for a really in-depth world, it is technically low fantasy. It is, our world exists in their world, but there's a lot of world building going on. It's based in like Middle Eastern mythology, which is cool. And so it's got like djinns and it's fantastic. I highly recommend. There's a lot going on. She plays with quite a bit of, I would say, like classic romance tropes, but they're coming out in a new and interesting way. So it was very, very good. I don't think there was a character I didn't like the depth of in this whole series. And she's very good at writing. So shout out. She's also publishing under the name now. I mentioned this last time, but
mm-hmm.
She was at the time using S.A. Chakraborty. She's now publishing under Shannon Chakraborty.
Okay.
So same person. Highly recommend her. I'm looking forward to reading more of her books. So
awesome.
Those were two that I read. I also, Bloody Sweet, which I've talked about before. Yeah. I had the volume one. So the volume two came in. This is by Ernest Wu and Na Ray Lee. This is a manga, romance, vampires. It continues the story of the first volume, obviously. And I love Bloody Sweet. It was my favorite manga on an app I used to use. Well, I still use, called Manta. They took it off the app, which is why I was like, I have to buy the book.
Yeah.
Highly recommend if you like manga or are thinking about checking out manga. Very good. And then the last one I read was See You Yesterday by Rachel Lynn Solomon. So this was a book that I picked up because it was a really, I'm going to say something and I hate that I'm going to say it, but I picked it up because it was a really pretty pink shade. It's pink and it's a See You Yesterday, and then there's like an elevator and there's two people and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting a lot out of it, so I think that helped going in with very low expectations. It's categorized as young adult. I can see that. However, I didn't feel like it was actually written for young adult. It was just young adult could read.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And it's science fiction, so the idea is that our main character gets caught, Barrett, gets caught in a time loop.
Okay.
And so just dealing with that, and then she realizes someone else is also caught in the time loop, and they essentially team up to try to break the loop or figure out what's going mm-hmm. on, because they keep reliving the same day over and over and over again.
It's giving Russian Doll on Netflix.
Have so there's another it? Show called Palm Springs,
okay,
with Andy Samberg,
okay,
and which I watched. Very similar concept, yeah. Like almost the general plot is pretty much the same, which is girl gets caught in a time loop, realizes that someone else is caught in mm-hmm. the time loop too.
Yeah.
And then they have to work. They're like basically trying to work together. The characters are very different from Palm Springs, but like the overarching concept is definitely the same. I was pleasantly surprised with how good this was.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be more romance heavy, and it's definitely got a romance going on, obviously, but you can't have two people stuck in a time loop and not have them fall in love. Like, what is that? But it was about so much more, and I also really appreciated the main character did not feel, even the main love interest, both of them felt very realistic. Like, these were actual people. They weren't perfect, mm-hmm. you know, super hot, amazing, always know what to do kind of people. They were, you know, the guy's super nerdy and he just really likes physics, and he's like total type A personality. She's kind of a mess and she's kind of mean to people, and she's got some trauma that's making her push people away. So I really enjoyed the fact that the characters felt different than other characters. So I would highly recommend. It was really lighthearted if you're looking for something that's not too serious of a read. It does deal with sexual assault, rape, so just trigger warning there. But
yeah,
not too bad either. Like, it definitely wasn't. I sometimes have an issue with that, and I could read it no problem. So
okay,
yeah, that was what I've been reading.
Love it.
All right, should we talk about our topic?
Yes.
So I made the joke that you might hurt my feelings, but I actually really hope you don't, because this time we're talking about books. Our favorite books, rather. No. We are talking about books that we have recommended to each other. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Which, yes. I'm hoping it's just the good.
Mostly good.
And that the rest of the title is just a joke. But well, I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
Just
we'll
see a joke.
How many bad books I've recommended you over the years. So we've known each other a while.
Yeah. Just a few years.
Just a few years.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Like what, 13? We've known each other since we were 13? 12? 11?
Yeah. Mm. Well, you know, technically we knew each other when we were 10.
Right.
Or 11.
Yeah. In that area.
Yeah. But friends from 14, 15 on.
Yeah.
So we got a couple years going. And I gotta say it. I'm just gonna start, because everyone who's listening to this podcast knows exactly what I'm gonna say, because it's Sabrielle.
Yay.
So for those who are maybe new or just want a reminder of it, at one point in our friendship, I went to Megan's house to have a sleepover, and she put the ugliest book into my hands and said, you absolutely have to read this. And I remember looking at it and being like, okay, mm-hmm. I trust you, but this looks bad. This looks...
You were judging that book
hard. I was judging that book hard. Fast forward like 48 hours later and I was rereading it. I was enthralled. I couldn't believe how vibrant the world of Sabriel felt, mm-hmm. how vibrant the characters felt, and how seen I felt when I read it. And I just remember also there was a big push around the time that there were a lot of more female protagonists coming out in books.
Yeah.
But they had a certain sass style to them and they all kind of did start blur together. Yeah. And then there was just Sabriel, who was just almost no nonsense, doesn't really want her destiny, but also isn't against it like other protagonists.
She knows it has to be done, kind of.
It's got to be done. Yeah. She faced things head on. She made mistakes, almost died because of the mistakes. Like, she definitely learned throughout the book, and I just loved it. And I think this is the top recommendation you've ever given me.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, because to be honest, it's also one that I still stand by to this day. I've obviously reread it recently, and the entire The Old Kingdom series, which is the series Sabriel is a part of, and I think it still stands up.
Yeah,
it's still, I would still recommend that book. I recommend it to adults, to young adults. Like, I think it still works in that age group.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I recommended it to like somebody in my painting class, and she's gonna read it, and I'm so excited. Oh, and awesome. I just feel like I love that this book came into my life.
Yeah.
And it was because of you. Aww. So,
and I love that, because that was like it is my fave book, but like it was just one of those books that like completely changed my like way of reading.
Yeah.
And like what I knew reading could be.
Well, and also I think it was, I mean, lots of people can point to like Harry Potter or even mm-hmm. Twilight or something, those big books, as the reasons that they like fantasy. But I think this was the book that I read when I realized how much I could love it.
Yeah.
It wasn't just, oh, this is cool. It was, I want to sink into this world. I want more of this.
Like, yeah.
I want this feeling of being this enraptured in this world. So, Sabriel, great.
Yeah, great. We recommend it to everyone who's listening.
Yeah.
Please give it a try. It's very underrated, in my opinion. But I feel like people who have read it, they're like, the hype is there.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's so hard to find those people.
Yeah.
So anyways, if you're out there, check out our Discord and tell us how much you love Sabriel.
Yeah, come talk about Sabriel with us. We need a Sabriel community.
Love that. Okay, so I'll go. One that kind of I never thought I would read from you is Lore Olympus.
I thought that was going to go a completely different direction when you said that. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, I feel like, so this one,
there's a theme, I feel like, with how aggressive we put it into each other's hands.
Yeah, it was just like, you need to read this book immediately.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing it like at the store and I was like interested in it because I like knew people like on Instagram were talking about it. Mm-hmm. And like I knew it was a webtoon, but I didn't know what that meant. I'm like, what is that? I never heard of that in my life. And
what does this mean?
Yeah, what does this mean? It's a beautiful cover. And you're like, you have to read this. Like, this is like one of the best, like healthiest relationships you've ever read. And it's also like, I never really read graphic novels.
Yeah.
I don't think at all. And so it kind of like showed me what graphic novels can be. Like, it can be these like beautiful, intricate stories that I enjoy, not just like superheroes and villains, because that's just what I assumed.
What you had the connection to.
Yeah, so like they didn't really seem like things that I would be interested in, but mm-hmm. yeah, like it's just such a beautiful book, and I just like remember reading it and like devouring it, and then going on Webtoon and be like, okay, gotta finish. gotta catch up.
Whole thing. Yeah.
And then obviously she was on like a hiatus and I was like, now I'm sad.
Yeah. That was real when she was on a hiatus. That was upsetting.
Yeah.
Rachel Smith is the artist author of this, by the way. I will say I remember getting it to myself and I had that. I remember convincing myself I wasn't going to read it on the Webtoon. I was just going to wait for the books, and it lasted all of 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Before I downloaded Webtoon and was like,
yeah,
I gotta figure out what happens. I gotta find out.
And I think like the only reason I like take a break in it is because I like go back and forth between the book and the Webtoon, and then I like catch up on the Webtoon, and then I kind of just like forget where I ended.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, I can't go back now because I gotta reread everything, which isn't a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because I've done that. I've already read about, like, reread a couple times.
But I have as well.
Yeah.
And it's fun to just reread.
Yeah, it's just like, and it's, yeah, it's just, even though I know where it's going, it's just like so well done.
The journey is so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still highly recommend
that. I'm not like a big Greek person. Like, I like Greek mythology.
Yeah.
But it was just how it was done and like modernized and just
modernized, but still had that tribute with, so didn't modernize it too much.
Yeah.
She struck a really nice balance with it.
Yeah. She is like credible. Yeah. Artist, author, all the things.
Love Rachel Smith.
Love her.
All right. I have another one that you just immediately, you have to read. The Ones We're Meant to Find by Joan Hee.
Oh, yes.
So you gave it to me and I didn't read it for a couple weeks. And I knew it was a serious thing when you kept asking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so I remember the day I read it and I was like, okay, I started it, and you were like, cool. And then you just waited for, like,
I need you to finish it.
And then you were like, okay, I have to talk to you about the ending. And I think this was such a strong science fiction dystopian book that felt so well thought out.
Mm-hmm.
And what I appreciated the most, there was, I didn't rate it necessarily as high as you did, because I took a little bit more issue with certain sections and how I didn't know if they were super fleshed out.
Mm-hmm.
But I was so engaged with this story. And it was one of those things too, where there is a twist and you don't really see it coming in the way that it happens.
Yeah.
But as it's happening, you're like, oh, and you just start to realize, almost not with the characters, but almost in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was brilliant. The emotions of the characters were so fantastic.
Yeah.
And I love that it's a story of sisters.
Yeah. I really like that she focused on that and not like a romance or anything. Like, it just,
there was romance in it, but it definitely was not the main thing. The focal point was the story between the sisters, and I really loved that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was a really good one. I think anyone, I what I also really appreciate about this, and I feel like I want to say this, I love that I can recommend this book because it is such a nice intro to some sci-fi.
Yeah.
Elements, I feel like it would be a really good introduction to people who maybe read more fantasy, but want to explore sci-fi and want to see if they would like it. This is one book that they might enjoy.
Yeah. Even and, like, if they just read like contemporary novels too, I feel like they
could contemporary get into it. Yeah, I feel like they could switch into the sci-fi, and it was one of the novels that stood out of its genre, and I mm-hmm. think that's what I loved about it. Mm-hmm. Is it felt more than a sci-fi, more than a sci-fi novel.
Yeah.
I really did love it. Plus, it has a beautiful cover, which is not the point, but it's, I do appreciate it.
Yeah, it adds to it. It's just a little something-something.
A little something-something.
Yeah. Aw, I love, like, that one. I just remember finishing and being like, I need someone to talk about this immediately.
Marissa, please read it.
Need your thoughts.
Marissa, why haven't you read it yet?
Yeah, like, hurry up. I know, I think I gave it to you, and I was like, why hasn't she read it yet? She reads stuff in, like, 2 days.
Yeah, she, like, it was offended. You were offended.
Yeah.
You knew it was sitting on my shelf, and you knew I could also finish it in like 4 hours if I really wanted to.
Yeah, I was just like, I just know you're purposely not reading it right now, and
you just want to hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
It's always my goal in life to hurt your feelings.
Yeah, clearly. Just kidding. The next one, that this one was a little surprise for me, because I personally think the cover's really ugly, since, you know, we're judging books on covers today.
I guess that's the theme of the day.
That's the theme of the day. And it is An Absolutely Remarkable Thing by Hank Green.
Yeah. You know what? I don't agree that it's ugly, but I don't think it's pretty.
It's not. Yeah, it's not ugly. It's just not pretty. It's not like,
it's vibrant.
It's vibrant. It catches your eye. But to me, I would see that in the store and be like, that's all words. It's a big, that's big words. Letters, and I don't really understand what it's about, and I just wouldn't have cared to even look into it.
Yeah.
And you were like, no, I think you'd really enjoy this book. You didn't really give me much else.
No, I didn't tell you anything about that one.
You just have to read it.
I'm pretty sure I told you it was sci-fi.
Yeah.
But I also said, don't judge it for that. Like, I almost was like, I know you don't read sci-fi, but you need to read this.
Yeah.
It's so much more than a sci-fi novel.
Yeah. And I think that's why, like, I was just, like, pleasantly surprised reading it.
Yeah.
I didn't love, like, April, the main character,
I loved that you weren't supposed to love her.
Yeah. Which is the point. Like, it obviously, like, it makes the story, like,
yeah,
She's
terribly hard to root for.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was just, like, a super interesting concept. And, like, it wasn't, like, case space aliens, you know, like, it wasn't that kind of sci-fi. It was, like, almost like speculative fiction, which so, like, it was just a different type of sci-fi that I've read before and wasn't expecting, and really enjoyed it. And I think because, like, I knew Hank Green from, like, YouTube and stuff like that, I wasn't,
which I also forced down your throat.
Exactly. But, like, I enjoy him. I just didn't know how that would translate into
a book,
and it was just, like, blew my mind. And then reading, like, I continued the series, like, I finished the second book as well. Eventually, it took me a while, but I did it.
You did it.
And yeah, it was just, like, one of those books that you were like, you need to read this whenever you get a chance. And then when I did, I was like,
it was worth it.
It was worth it. And yeah, I just wouldn't have picked that up if you didn't tell me to do it.
Well, the thing I loved the most about this book was a lot of sci-fi, I feel like, leaves you with the feeling of almost fear, anxiety mm-hmm. about technology or the darker side of how those things might play out when interacting with humanity. And there are elements of that for sure in this book, but the overarching theme is more of hope.
Yeah, I would say, like, hope and humanity and how, like, people, like, can community. Work together and, yeah, and, like, support each other. And yeah, it was just really good.
I did also appreciate just knowing a little bit about Hank Green, April's battle with social media and using it way too much.
Yeah.
Because I know that's something he's struggled with in the past. And so I thought that was really cool that he was able to, like, pull that in when it didn't feel out of place. I know sometimes when you're reading a book, you're like, wow, the author really wanted to make a point about this. But for me, it didn't feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like he incorporated it in a really natural way for the April character. Oh, I love that book. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's definitely
a top one,
yeah.
So speaking of a top one, we have Iron Widow by Jiren J. Zhao.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Longtime listeners of this podcast are not shocked with my list. So Iron Widow was a book that you also put in my hands. I feel you had less to say about this one, if I'm remembering correctly. I remember you talking a lot about how much you thought it was beautiful.
Yeah.
The cover. And more of a, I think you're going to like this. But I don't desperately need to talk to you about it right this second. So
yeah,
it's not urgent. But when you finish it, tell me, because I do want to talk about it. And I remember reading it, and I'm a fast reader. So, but I'm also a voracious, hungry reader sometimes. And they don't always overlap. I can read books and read them quickly, but I take lots of breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll put it down for a couple days or something like that. My favorite ones are obviously the ones where I lose track of I'm floating in space in this book. Nothing exists. Time doesn't exist. You want me to go to a meeting? That's funny. I have a book to read.
Yeah.
What are meetings? I'm in this world right now. Please attempt to contact me later.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those books where as soon as the plot got going, I was completely engaged. And also, it was one of those books where you get to the end and you're like, okay, it's wrapping up. And then bang, 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 what? And then it ended with, I will say, probably two cliffhangers / plot twists right at the end.
Yes.
Along with a couple more before that.
Yeah.
And we've talked a lot about how much I loved the main character because she, Wu Zetian, is so unapologetically angry in this book, and she deserves to be. But I also love that this book really combined what I felt like was sci-fi and fantasy elements, where there was definitely sci-fi things happening, but they were given a, almost a fantastical spin of like, you don't really need to think too hard about how this is working. Yeah. Which I kind of appreciated because I'm on board. Like, I'm fine with it. And yeah, the relationships in this book, the court, like every time I thought I knew where it was going, Jiren Zhejiao pulled the rug out from under me. I also felt like they used a lot of tropes. Led up to a lot of tropes only to be like, haha,
just kidding,
I'm not using that one.
Yeah.
You thought. And I really appreciated that. I wasn't a huge fan of the opening. It took a little bit to get into, but once you got into it, it was really good. And I mean, now I buy this book for everyone. I recommend it to everyone. I tell everyone to read this book. It's non-optional if you know me.
Yep.
And yeah, so thanks for the rec.
You're welcome. And that one was kind of like a pleasant surprise for me too. Like, I just like thought the cover looked neat at the store. And I think it was like a like store pick or whatever. But I was like, I've never heard of this book in my life. Like,
yeah.
What even is this? Reddit. I was like, this sounds pretty dope. Like, fighter pilot type vibes.
Yeah.
In mechs. Like,
yeah, like, give it to me, I guess.
Yeah, like, this sounds pretty sweet. Haven't read a book like this in my life, but I'm sold.
Let's try it now.
Let's try it. And then, like, just the drama. Like, the
sheer drama of it.
The whole thing, it just got me. It was, yeah, like you said, it was just like you couldn't help but, like, read it and finish it and know what's happening.
Yeah, it almost killed me that it was on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how upset I was that there wasn't even a date for the next book to come out yet. I was so mad.
I know. Because it was so new, too. Like, I think it just was released.
And I never read them that new. I was so mad about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be honest, if it would have been a 7-book series, I would have immediately went out and got them all.
Yeah,
that's how engaged I was. I was ready to finish that.
Yeah. So hopefully, was it this year the second one's coming out? Maybe? Very, very late.
So that's
that postponed again.
That's a big thing. There's a possibility, it sounds like, that it might not come out at all.
Oh, no, I didn't know
because
that.
Because of some fallout that Jiren Zhejiao has had with her publisher.
Oh, no.
And they're essentially kind of locking the book in a state where they refuse to give the edits back to Zhao. And so they can't do any editing until they get those edits, and it can't go to publication until then. So it doesn't.
Oh, no.
They don't. According to their Twitter, and I haven't been super up to date with it, and this might change, obviously, and hopefully does. But according to right now, they don't know when it's going to come out.
Well, that's too bad. I hope that things work out with that book. And
yeah, I'm hoping so too, obviously, because I would like to read it, is all I'm saying.
Yes, me too. Hopefully one day. Okay, well, here's so the next one. And I just want to say, like, I enjoy your recommendations. I think you're really good at giving recommendations. No, this is good.
Okay.
This is a good one. But I think this book really solidified that.
I know what I'm talking
about. You know what you're talking okay, about.
I thought this was going to go. No, a completely different direction.
I just like to wind things up and, you know, flip it on its head and, you know, get your adrenaline going. But
you succeeded. Heart racing.
No, this is the poetry book, Love Looks Pretty on You by Lang Lee.
Yeah.
And because as someone who's never read poetry in their life before this book, I was very hesitant. Told you all the reasons I was like not interested in reading poetry, you know. Bad vibes from high school.
Yeah.
Like, it just wasn't it for me. And you, with all your wisdom of poetry and books and all the things, you gave me this one. And it took me a couple years probably to get to it.
To be honest, when I gave it to you, I told you to read it when you needed to.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure that was almost, I said something like that. Read it. I get a little magical, mystical sometimes when I talk about poetry, because I do believe, and maybe this is silly and maybe this is just nonsense, and that's fine. I'm okay living in that bubble. It's like the spiders. They're going to stay out of my house. The poetry books I need to read are going to find me when I need to read them. They're going to call to me. I can't tell you how long I spent picking out that book for you.
Yeah.
Because I figured I only had about one or two chances to redeem poetry in your eyes. Yeah,
50-50.
At most, I would get one other chance to give you a book that you would actually read, but I knew it was going to take forever if I didn't nail that first one for you to trust it again.
Yeah.
I had one book to get it right, and I had read not that copy that I gave you, not that book by Langlieve, but I had read a couple Langlieve collections when I was in university. And the way that poetry stayed with me, I just had a feeling you were going to really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Tortured myself over the decision in the bookstore before I bought it. But I also knew that you would love I loved the title, and I mm-hmm. knew you would love the title, mm-hmm. and I knew the title would get you
yeah.
a little bit. And the cover, it's a relatively pretty book. So that was what I was hoping would eventually sway you to pick it up.
Yeah. Well, and it was definitely the book on my shelf that I was like, hey, like, I want to read this, but my own, like, fear of reading poetry and, like,
yeah.
thinking that I'm not gonna, like, understand it or, like, enjoy it or get what I should be getting out of it, like,
yeah.
kind of stopped me. And then when I just kind of started picking it up, like, a couple poems here or there, I was like, oh, I actually really enjoy this. And I don't know why it took me so long to read this, because it's just like some of them were like, don't vibe with, that's fine.
Yeah.
But a majority of them, I was like, okay, like, this is, even if I don't relate to it, just to see, like, yeah, like how vulnerable poetry can be and how just like the deepest thoughts are just like on a page.
And not even deep in the way of always meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Just deep in the sense of you're accessing something that's almost unconscious.
Yeah.
Again, I get a little mystical when I talk about poetry, and that's because that's how it makes me feel.
Mm-hmm.
When you understand a poem and it connects with you, it feels a little magical.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about poetry.
Yeah. See, that book, you know.
You know what? I will say, if I had to pick one, I bet you that would be like my favorite recommendation yeah. that you've liked.
Yeah.
It's because definitely I was top. I just remember buying it too. And I remember you saying that you would be willing to try poetry, but you weren't sure necessarily where to start and you didn't want to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew I had to nail it. And the fact that I put so much thought into it and it actually did work out makes yeah. me feel a little proud of myself.
Yeah.
It was also proud of how you read it, because I know that was part of it.
Yeah. For sure. And I think like that was like the book that I was like, hey, like, Marissa's giving me good recommendations, but this was the first one that I was like, oh, she actually like knows me. Like, she actually knows what I need.
she knows me thoroughly.
Yeah.
And we actually have been friends for a long yeah. time, clearly.
I was like, this is it. Because, yeah. like, this is just a genre that I've never read before. And I was like, I feel like that's harder to recommend a genre to someone else that has yeah. never read it than, like, a genre you both like. And it's like, okay, like, Sabrielle, like, I knew you liked fantasy. And
yeah.
we liked similar books. So that was an easy one.
Yeah.
But, like, to recommend a genre completely out of my comfort zone and, yeah. like, you know, hit it out of the park.
Yeah.
Yee.
I'm so proud. I feel so good about myself right now.
Yeah, if you guys need recs, just hit up my rest.
I do take quite a bit of pride in recommending books.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'll give it a shot. Obviously, I won't know you as well as I know Megan, but I will give it a shot if you can give me some ideas of what you're looking for. Because
yeah,
I do love doing it. So
yeah,
again, hit us up in the Discord if you want to take advantage of that.
Yes, or give us some recs too. If
yeah,
you
actually,
think any of
great.
These sound like if yeah. you have a book that's similar to what we're
like,
talking
wow,
about.
Wow, that probably sounds like it's up their alley. I love that.
Yeah.
Did you have any others?
I mean, I could say one more. If you have one more, I don't have
I
to.
I have one more. I just think it's funny.
Okay.
So I think it's funny because it showcases our friendship a lot that I was only about 85% sure you gave me this book. Because yeah. I had it for so long, but you gave me Throne of Glass
mm-hmm.
by Sarah J. Maas. And I will say, this is one that I think is so funny, because the first time I read it, my impression was, oh, that was just, it was what it was. You know, yeah. it was a good fantasy book. Do I need to continue the series? No. And I read it years later because this was post, you know, the stay at home part of COVID, all yeah. that stuff. And so I wanted to read, and I was trying to get a little bit back into that, and I just didn't know what to read. And then I was like, I remember liking this book, but I don't really remember what happened in it. And so I feel like I could read it again and I'll probably, it'll be like the first time. And I remember it was just fun and that's all I'm looking for right now. Yeah. It's fun. And I read it and I don't know what happened the first time I read it. And I won't say I felt like it was better the second time, but I picked up on more cues that the second one might be interesting.
Yeah.
And I sent my partner out to get the second one and he got the second one for me and I read that one and then I was like, okay, so there's 7 books in the series. I'm gonna need you to just get all of them. Thank you.
Yeah.
And so I think this is funny for 2 reasons. One, it took a couple years for the recommendation to hit.
Yeah.
It needed to like marinate.
Yeah. Like, did I enjoy it? I don't know.
I don't know. Let's try again. Yeah. Let's take another bite. Let's see what this is about. But also, I think this became a fantasy series that, and I don't want to say got me back into fantasy, but also reminded me of some of the things I love to see in fantasy books, because I was definitely in my head about reading at that point in time. And also it was a fantastic connection that I ended up making with Alex, who has been on this podcast lots, is both of our friend, but I worked with her at the time and I knew she was a reader. And I said, I've been staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning to read these books because like the storyline is so interesting and it moves so fast and you should just read it because I want to talk about it with more and more people. And that was the reason she read that book. And so I also love that recommendation because it was like the recommendation that kept on giving. Like not only did the first time I was like, oh, that was fine. Like I won't read the next one, but it was fine. But I read it years later and loved it and ended up reading the whole series. And then I made it go out to someone else and they read it and they read the whole series. And now we have a podcast together and I have a podcast with her. Yeah. And it just feels like
it just like
you kind of started that.
Where would your life be if
without
you didn't?
Yeah. But if you hadn't said this book that's kind of Hunger Games-esque, but fantasy is fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Check it out. I mean,
I will say you didn't recommend, you didn't give it to me as like, this is going to change your life. You're like, this is a fun read.
Yeah. Because I remember really enjoying it, but I was like, yeah, something fun, something different.
Something different.
I think that's my favorite thing about recommending books. Like, it's nice that you enjoy it or like whoever I recommend it enjoy it. But then when they like recommend to other people and then they're like,
oh my God, I did such a good job.
And they like it. And then it's like, or introduces them to like a new author they never thought that they would like enjoy. That's what I love. Like, that makes me feel good. Cause I'm like, oh, they like they think I have good taste.
Everybody thinks I have good taste. Well, you nailed it. Cause honestly, all these ones on my list are ones that I've recommended to other people.
Yeah.
Definitely some more than others. I think the ones we're meant to find is probably the least that I recommend out. But other than that, I mean, I've made everybody read Sabriel and Iron Widow.
Yeah.
Most people have already read Throne of Glass. So like that one's.
Yeah. But I feel like you read it before it was cool.
You did read it before it was cool. I will give you that.
I was the original hipster
the forerunner
of Sarah J. Maas world. I'm just kidding.
All right. You said you had one more.
One more. Kind of similar ideas like you with Throne of Glass.
Yeah.
And it's Emma.
Pog.
Emma. Jane Austen.
Jane Austen. Okay.
You gave me that book. I think we were in high school. Probably. And you were like, I was just like, wow, Marissa has more confidence in me than I have in myself reading this classic novel. At that time, I think I read Jane Eyre and that was it. And I, you know, struggled through that. So I was like, wow, Marissa.
Like, wow, she believes in me so much.
She believes me so much. Like, she's in like AP English and all this stuff. And
I don't want to let her down, but I don't know if I'm ready for this.
I don't know if I'm ready. So like, I think I read like a couple chapters and it's like the most boring part of the book where you're like being introduced to everyone.
And there's a lot of people just being introduced.
There's lots happening. And I was like,
yeah,
am I going to, what is happening? Like, I wasn't in it. So it sat in my bookshelf for probably 10 years, like a long time. And one day I was like, okay, I'm going to give this a try. I'm going to do it for Marissa because she believed in me that one time. That one time. And ended up like, it was a long book. I knew, I went into it knowing it's going to take me a long time because it's classic, old, English terms.
Yeah, I think you talked to me before you read it too, and you yeah. were like, I don't know if I can do it. And I was like, let me be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
The first 100, 150 pages.
Yeah, you didn't tell me that.
You gotta be ready for it to be slow. It's mm-hmm. not terrible, mm-hmm. but take it easy. This is not Sarah J. Maas. You're going to instantly connect and want to burn through the pages. The first 150 pages are going to be a little bit more challenging.
Yeah.
Which, I promise when mm-hmm. you hit that 150 mark, you will want to be turning the page.
Yeah. And that's exactly how it was. And it, like, I gave myself, I think I took a month, which like to me, I was like super proud of because I'm yeah. like, that was like hefty for me.
Yeah.
And yeah. And like ended up being like, I really enjoyed it. And it was like the first time that I was like, oh, like I can actually like read these classics and enjoy them and like not think they're just like old school and I'm too dumb for them.
Yes. I love that you have that feeling because that's the exact feeling I had when I read Jane Eyre mm-hmm. for the first time of, oh, one, I can do this because you get a little intimidated sometimes.
Yeah.
But also two, wow, I didn't know they could be so good.
Yeah. It's like, I actually really enjoyed that. Like, I just thought they wrote about like grass growing and
yeah,
bonnets.
Grass growing and bonnets.
I don't know.
Going for a walk.
Some horse carriages. I don't know. Clearly, I don't know anything about classics. But
yeah.
I think that was like the first time that I was like, I can do this. And like, I picked up like an older book by myself recently yeah. and really enjoyed it. And like went in with that expectation that it might be a little bit difficult to read, but I know yeah. I'll like it or I can like it and it can still be entertaining.
I got to be honest. So you're saying like when I recommend books out that you've recommended to me, you're like, oh my God, I nailed it. I nailed that recommendation.
Yeah.
When I recommend books that are outside of someone's genre and they like it,
mm-hmm. That's your thing.
That's yeah. my, like, I'm unstoppable. I did so good. Because it's hard. We get yeah. used to what we like and we want, you know, if you're really in a fantasy mindset, you want that fantasy mindset. Mm-hmm. So to be able to be like, hey, this isn't normally what you read, but I know you'll like it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're good at that.
Thank you. All right. Well, what do you want to do first? Do you want to talk about our, well, we usually draw. We should draw.
Yeah, we can draw.
You're not. I actually might like this.
Okay. Okay.
We've been avoiding poetry related ones, but I officially got the okay to not avoid them anymore. And guess what? We're going to be talking about what are your tips for trying to get into poetry?
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like it because you're going to be like more creative writer degree.
I'm going to be like, here are my top 10 tips. And you're going to be like, these are the vibes.
Yeah, these are the vibes. This is how I got into it.
Actually, I feel like you could talk a lot about the mindset.
That's true.
Because you are on that side of it, right? I'm on the other side of poetry is amazing. And you just crossed into that zone. So you still remember what it looks like to be afraid of it.
That's true. Yeah, this will be interesting. It'll be fun to talk about it.
Yeah.
And okay. Hopefully people can relate, you know?
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about that one. So, yeah. What are you currently reading? What's on the agenda?
What is... well, I'm currently reading an anthology, actually.
Yeah.
Called Unsaid.
Okay.
It's an Asian anthology that I ended up picking up on my travels. Okay. Southeast Asia.
That's cool.
Because that's like my new thing is... souvenirs from traveling are books. You know, I don't get the traditional things like a magnet. I want a book.
A book. A book is better than a magnet.
Exactly. And
I want that on a magnet.
We should make that.
We should make that.
A book is better than a magnet.
On a
Here
magnet.
Is a magnet.
Here's the magnet with that statement.
Yeah. So I'm really enjoying it so far. I'm not very far in, but I just like kind of forget that like short stories can like be really interesting in a short amount of time. Like, I know that's the
short
point
stories
of it.
Can like be good question yeah,
like,
mark
what, you mean this is
what
again this stems from the trauma of school and reading.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to some English teachers.
Yeah, where you at?
Where
you
at?
We come for you. No, I'm just kidding. We love English teachers. We love teachers on this podcast.
Yeah,
in general
do. You're
but
doing
yeah
great.
That's what I'm reading. What about you?
So I have Lord of Chaos by Robert Jordan. Mm-hmm. By the time this podcast comes out, I'll probably be finished it.
Mm-hmm.
But we are wrapping that up this week for the Queens of Fantasy podcast. And then we will be on book 7, which I made the joke on the Queens of Fantasy podcast. You know I'm going to make it again here, which is I'm very excited about because once we're through book 6, then we can start book 7. And once we're through book 7, then we're halfway through the series.
Yeah.
And then it's like
you're like
over
it's like
halfway.
It's downhill from there.
Downhill, like easy gliding.
Yeah, obviously.
foot off the gas.
Yeah.
Obviously, right?
Yeah,
right?
That's how that works, reading a 14-book totally series.
How that works. Mm-hmm. Although I am a little bit afraid because they say that there's a group of books in the Wheel of Time series that's termed the slog.
It's not a good thing.
That's not a good name, is it?
Mm-mm.
Some people say it starts around the 7th book, but most people, I believe, and this is coming from more of Alex because we're not allowed to Google things. But 8 through 10 is where it gets really sloggish. Alex in particular, I think, says 9 was the really bad one for her. So we'll see how that goes. Might not be a downhill glide. Might
You'll just
be
plateau
actually
for a little bit.
Like plateau.
Yeah.
But it feels like a slight incline because I just climbed a hill, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like your gear changes aren't working.
Yeah, they're
so
not. It's like it won't catch and yeah. So it's in the wrong and it's just not working out. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's going to feel like. I'm still also, I have Heartstopper just ready to go whenever I want to pick that back up. It's going to take me probably about an hour to finish the last two volumes.
Yes, you're no rush. You can do it whenever.
Yeah, it's just kind of there when I'm ready for it. I am also technically reading a book called Rebel Writers. It's a nonfiction book about several prolific female writers who kind of challenged the norm. It didn't pique my interest in the way to hear about it piqued my interest. To read it, I don't know if it's the writing or if I'm just not in the mood. So I might take that off my list and try again later and just, you know, pick something else. But I did make a goal to read more nonfiction books, which is why I'm trying it. But it's kind of not jiving right now. So I might save it for later.
That's fair.
And then other than that, wherever the wind takes me from there.
Wherever the wind goes, that's... wherever the wind blows. I don't, I'm making up a song.
I'm making up a song. It's okay. I like it when you make up songs. It's fun.
There's no banjo, but.
No banjo, but there is singing.
There's so singing, guys.
Almost, kind of, sort of, in the same world.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Any final thoughts here, Megan?
No, I don't think so. What about you?
No.
I never ask you, I feel like.
No, I'm good. But thank you for asking.
Yeah.
That was nice.
I know. I'm sorry that I...
It's okay.
Never think about you at the end of these episodes.
Oh, well, when you say it like that, I feel less okay.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, with that... we thank you so much for listening. If you didn't notice throughout this podcast, we did mention we have a Discord server. You can check that out by following the link in the description of this podcast. If you want to check us out on Instagram, we are at the Book Jar Pod on there, where we post pictures of our books and stories and update you on what we're reading and all that good stuff. So check us out there. We also have a sister podcast. You've heard me mention we are currently reading The Wheel of Time. The entire podcast is dedicated to reading fantasy series alongside other readers. And right now we are naturally on The Wheel of Time. If you want to check that out, it's Queens of Fantasy Pod on Instagram. You can also find information about it in the Discord server that was previously mentioned, or you can find it wherever you're listening to this podcast. It'll be there as well. Other than that, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And so we leave you with a good old keep on reading on, and we will see you later.
Bye.
I really didn't think Keep On Reading On was gonna last this long. I thought at some point I would think of a better way to end the podcast, but now I feel like I can't replace it.
It's like one of those things that like it works, like it just flows off the tongue, but it also like ages us a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Like
it's not good.
If people know the reference, they'll know the era of that.
Yeah.
For the probably like Keep Calm and Read On would be another version of it, but we like to be unique and do our own thing. That's what I think of anyways.
Yeah.
I like it though. It's unique-ish.
So you're saying you like it, but you're frowning.
Keep on like reading.
Maybe we should do like a poll. Somebody should find me a better outro.
That's a good idea. Come up with something more book jar-ish.
The jar is closed.
Hey, friends, thanks for listening. The jar is closed.
It doesn't stop yet. Oh, no.
The suggestions are...
Suggestioning.
Welcomed to the book jar. No. I don't know. There's something
theoretically, though, is the jar closed in between podcasts, or is it open? Because it's open between podcasts. Is the book jar now open?
The book jar is now open. Please put in your suggestions.
I think we're overthinking.
I feel like there's something there that makes sense, but we're not the ones.
We're not the ones
to figure it out at this moment. So keep on reading on.
Keep on reading on.